for holding up the tropical chesem at all. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a shekel on a baser connected a kli. Rabbi Yehuda says that when you so we talked yesterday at the end, the last Mishnah and the Gemara had talked about buying meat on Yom Tov. We said you can't mention a dollar value, a monetary figure, but you can go and get meat on Yom Tov from a butcher. So now Rabbi Yehuda is saying that when it comes to weighing it, the butcher is selling the meat. You can't weigh it normally. You can't weigh it the normal way. You know, they'd use balance scale in those days, and you'd put the meat in one side of the balance scale, and the on Yom Tov we're talking about. Normally, you put the meat in one pan of the balance scale, and the weights and weights of certain sizes on the other. Here, you can't do that way on Yom Tov. That definitely not, because that would be Ma'isa Chol. That would be a weekday-ish way of doing things. But Rabbi Yehuda is saying Shekel on the Basa Keneged HaKli. You can weigh the meat against a utensil, a Keneged HaKofet, or against a cleaver. In other words, you weigh the meat. You weigh the meat. You put on one side of the scale. You put the meat. The other side, let's say, you put a utensil that's somewhere that's there around the butcher shop. After Yom Tov, you'll weigh it and find out how much it weighs, and then you'll know how much to charge the guy. Whereas the Chachamim say you can't even look at, you can't even pay any attention to a balance scale, the pan of a balance scale at all. Because you're not allowed to weigh and you have to measure. And my colleague, and the Gemara says, what do you mean you're not allowed to pay attention to it at all? Rav Yehuda, it means you're not even allowed to put meat into the pan of the balance scale when just to keep it safe from mice. You're not using it to weigh it. You're not using it to weigh the meat at all, just as a place to put the meat. Yeah, that's as you can't use a scale.
So that's more than just weighing.
That's what we're saying. The Mishnah Berurah brings, although the Alfadeva does not bring. So I don't know I didn't look up what the Mishnah Berurah source is. That this only applies if you have weights in the other pan and balance scale. So then, when you're putting the meat in, it still looks like weighing. According to that way of looking at it, if you just have the scale is hanging there, and you just put the meat on one side, there's nothing on the other side, then you're not doing anything of weighing. However, the Alter Rebbe doesn't mention that detail, so I don't know if he agrees with it. Omer b'idi ba'oven v'hud talya b'tritta. This that we're saying that you can't put meat into the scale is only if it's actually hanging on the hook. Usually, in a balance scale like that, you'd have it hanging from a certain kind of hook, that's when you can use it. In other words, we're not talking about if the pieces of the scale are just on the shelf over there. Sure, you can put the meat into it.
We don't use hooks.
It's the same principle, though. Yeah, there's still places where they use balance scale, but I think goldsmiths, for example, use them. They don't use them for meat. Fine, they use electronic scale. But
you don't manual scale with fingers.
Actually, that was when I was a kid that I remember
seeing that. Okay. V'amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, tabach oman asa lish kabasa. An expert butcher is not allowed to weigh meat with his hands. So Rashi says it means we're talking about that he put the weight in. He wants to sell a pound of meat. He'd put a 1 pound weight in one hand. He'd put the he'd put a piece of meat in the other, and he, being an expert, knows how to figure out whether they both weigh the same. Other Mephoshim say that actually it means even more than that. Even if he doesn't hold a weight in one hand, just the fact he's an expert, he knows how to estimate the weight just in his hand. So that already is also.
On Yom Tov,
we're talking about, yeah, because weighing.
That's
no, what do you mean? It's completely also. On weekdays, of course, he can do that.
How can you estimate the weight just on
weekdays, if you want. So if the guy is willing to buy it from you under those conditions, because that's a haste, you know.
Okay.
Or if you're measuring it at home, for example. Actually, so in Shulchan Aruch, it does mention this that we're saying you're not allowed to weigh it by hand. We're talking about if you're weighing it in the shop to sell, then you can't do that on Yom Tov. If you're weighing it at home, for example, just you need a pound of meat for your chalent, and you're going to estimate it that way, fine. You can do that without holding a weight in your hand, just by holding the meat. Because you can't ask the guy to pick up a piece of meat on Yom Tov. But you can ask him to do it against the weight, or you can ask him even without a weight, according to most Rishonim, not like Rashi, that if he's doing it in order to sell. That's the thing. If you're doing it with a weight, then it's a problem. But if you're doing it without a weight, then it's only a problem if you're selling it. So it's one or the other. It's a problem, halacha, in Shulchan Aruch, either if you're doing it against a weight, an expert we're talking about, again, who knows how to estimate the weight of the meat just in his hand. So against a weight, it's always osur. And without a weight, it's osur if you're selling it, if you're doing it in order to sell in the store.
And you're an expert.
And you're an expert, yeah. V'amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, another din, tabach umen also lishkol basar mayim. An expert butcher is also, and actually on the side here it says that many Rishonim don't have the gears to tabach umen, because they say this next din applies even to a non-expert butcher, because it applies to anybody. Also lishkol basar mayim. You're not allowed to weigh meat in water, which means you use Archimedes' principle. You put a certain, you put a chunk of meat into the water and see how much the water level rises. You have a measuring cup there with measurements marked on it, so you know how much is displaced. You know the meat of the water that way. You can't do that either because that's also measuring. V'amar Rav Chiya Ba'ashi, also lasas beis yad b'basar. You're not allowed to make a handle in meat. In those days, when you sold somebody a chunk of meat and they'd carry it home, they didn't put it in a plastic bag like you do nowadays. You'd punch a hole in the meat, and you'd use that to carry it home on that, either on your finger or from a string or whatever. Again, it's a weekday-ish thing to do that. Base yad means a handle. So you're not allowed to make that on the meat. Again, because they're a chol.
What do you mean a handle on?
In other words, exactly what I just said. You cut off a chunk of meat for the person. You take the knife and stab through and make a hole in it.
Right.
So that he can carry it home, hanging from his finger or whatever. It's over in the chol, yeah.
Why is it over in the chol? I mean, why?
Because that's the normal way you do on weekdays.
You put a hole in it.
Yeah.
And carry on a finger.
Yeah. Or not a finger. Or maybe you carry it on a string. Whatever it is. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. So you can't do that on Yom Tov. And again, here also, other Mefarshim, Rabbeinu Chananel, for example, and this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, say we're not just talking about a hole that you put in it in order for somebody to be able to carry it home from the store. We also mean, for example, that you might make a hole in the meat in order to have something to hang it from on the wall to dry out, let's say, or whatever. Same thing. It's
in the
chol. So you can't do that either. Rabbeinu over Yada Shari, but Rabbeinu says if you're making a hole by hand, that's mutter, because that's already enough of a shiri. To make a hole in the meat with your finger, that you're allowed. You can't make it with a knife, then. Another din, Amar Rav Huna, mutar lasas simen b'basar. You're allowed to make a simen on the meat, which Rashi says the purpose of that is in order that somebody is carrying you're buying meat, you're sending it home with somebody, you want to make sure on the way he doesn't exchange it for some other meat. And in fact, in Bava Metzia, where there's a similar thing that Gemara talks about in Eilat Metzias, Rashi says over there that we're talking about sending it home with a goy. Where there you have a real problem, you might exchange it for other meat. So therefore, you're allowed to make a simon in that because then you're just making a hecker. You're making a hecker in it that way the people at home will recognize that this is the meat that you sent.
Going on only meat.
No, most foods you need one seal in order to send it with a guy. Certain things like meat, you need a double seal. But what we're talking about is over here, the shape of the meat itself sort of counts as one seal. Yeah, it would still need to be in a sealed package, but then the fact that it's in a distinct shape makes it mutter. Not a certain cut of meat, but we're cut in a certain shape. As we're going to see, Kihadu, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, Mechatechu Atlas Kana. So like, for example, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna used to, when he bought meat and then would send it home, whether it's a goy or not, as the case may be, he would cut it with three corners. That's why you have the diagram here in Rashi, the triangle. To illustrate, he would cut the meat into triangles, and that would be his simen. Bamloy has mentioned it's an interesting thing. I think he gets it from the Knesset Agdola, that at one point in one of the cities in Turkey, the Jews there had the minhag that they would write the word kosher on meat that they were sending home with goyim. The problem is, eventually goyim figured out how to duplicate the letters. So then the Rabbanim of the city said, you know what, instead of writing the word kosher, change it every week. Write the name of the parasha. Except that then one time, a guy took the layer of meat that had the name of the parasha inscribed in it and cut that off and attached it to another piece of meat. So then they made it. It's not just good enough to have the name of the parasha. You actually have to feel it to feel it's actually on the cut of meat itself and not just from another piece that was attached to it.
But he cut it, but it didn't make any sense. Two parts of parsha
name. No. He cut like the layer, that layer, the thin layer of meat. Yeah, it has the parsha off and attached it for another. Yeah.
Yeah, so therefore, so you have to feel that the letters are actually part of the meat and not
real,
just...
One real piece of meat.
Right.
Those days you didn't have a
bed. Yeah. The Gemara says, Rav another din, Rav Chia and Rav Shimon Berebi, Shaitlin Mana Kinegan Mana B'Yomtiv. Rav Chia and Rav Shimon Berebi, when they wanted to divide meat on Yomtiv, they would weigh a mana against a mana. A mana is a certain weight of meat, the weight of 100 din or whatever it is. So they would take, if we have, for example, we have a certain piece, We want to divide the meat equally. We want to make sure that everybody gets their fair share. So we take the two pieces and weigh them against each other on a balanced scale. And if they balance, then we know we're doing it fairly. The question is, come on. No. All we're doing is we cut off two pieces of meat. We're not sure whether one weighs more than the other. Let's just weigh them against each other. If they both weigh the same, then good. You take this piece, I'll take that piece. And we know we have a fair division. If not, then we'll chop off.
They don't know how much
each piece weighs, but it doesn't matter as long as they both get an equal amount. The question is, come on, who did they do that like? Like Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbanan. That seems to be not like Rabbi Yehuda and not like the Rabbanan of our Mishnah. Ikar Rabbi Yehuda, if you're going to say it's like Rabbi Yehuda, Ha'amah, but he said in the Mishnah, Shokel Adam Basa, can I get a clear, can I get a kaifit? You can only weigh against the utensil or against the cleaver. Can I get a clay aim? Can I get made after in a law? A cleaver is a large knife, like butchers. Because after Yomtiv, whatever, we know what a cleaver is, a large knife, like butchers use. But the point is, after Yomtiv, you can weigh the cleaver and find out how much it weighs. You're allowed to do that, but not to weigh mana keneged mana. You can keneged mid achrin aloy, but you can't weigh against anything else, like against another piece of meat. And ikar rabbanan, and if you're going to say like the rabbanan, then you're even more strict. So amri ein meshgichin bekaf mazayim kolikter. They say you can't pay attention to a balanced scale at all. So who are Rav Chia and Rav Shimon Berebi doing like when they're weighing one piece against the other? Yes, it's true they don't know how much each piece weighs, but still, you're weighing. This piece weighs as much as that piece. Now you're allowed to do that. The answer is inu da'avit ki Rabbi Yeshua. They followed Rabbi Yeshua in doing that. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Rabbi Yeshua, shoklin mana keneged mana b'yomtiv. That you're allowed to weigh a mana against a mana on yomtiv. A piece of meat against another piece of meat. The point is, Rabbi Yeshua is saying, mana means a certain weight, but it means, in other words, that's mana. You were talking, maybe it's mana. Okay, so if it's mona, then it means a portion. I thought it was mona, which means a certain weight. Whatever it is. The point is, you don't know how much each individual piece weighs, but you just know that both of them weigh the same. So Rabbi Yeshua says that a lot. Yeah. I'm sure it comes from the same Yeshua. Come on. Amr Rabbi Yosef, halacha ki Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yosef says the halacha, in fact, is like Rabbi Yeshua, ho'lo t'nan b'b'chordes kavasei, because we learn in a Mishnah, and b'chordes like him. Which actually, Rabbi Yosef is sort of doing a play on words on this. Usually we say that the halacha is like somebody because it says in Bechirta, meaning Masechta Edius, like him. Here, Rabbi Yeshua, instead of Edius, instead of Bechirta, which means the chosen Masechta, which is Edius, he's saying Bechir. But what's the din? It's not, it says there, Sula Amukdash and Anasim Lahakdish, animals that were Kodshim and then became Possel, which then what do? You pray to them and you're allowed to eat the meat of Skolin. The Hana of it, the value of it, goes to Hekdish. So if you have, for example, an animal that you designated, let's say, as an oilo or a shlomim or what have you, and it developed a mum, so you have to be poyter, you're allowed to eat that meat. There are certain restrictions. We talked about that yesterday as far as a bechor, but there's a difference. That's what the Mishnah is going to say here. There's a difference between bechor and meiser versus other kinds of kodshim. Namely, in the case of the oilo or the shlomim, for example, the hana of it goes to the hektish, which means, in other words, so you take this animal, which was worth, let's say, $1,000, it now developed a mum, so you're shechting it and eating the meat. The amount you get for selling that meat is going to go to hektish, and therefore b'shoklin mana keneged mana, and therefore you're allowed to weigh them in the normal way, meaning like this: you're selling meat. You have this animal that you shechted. You want to be able to sell the meat and be able to make money for hektish. Normally, we would think to say that it's treating them like chulin to actually weigh them like you normally weigh meat in the store. However, for the sake of maximizing the profit of hektish, the chachamim allowed it. However, that's with most psalim discussion. But shoklin mona keneged mona mebuchur. When it comes to a bechur, and also ma'aser, Rashi says you can't do that because. Relax, you're making more noise than they are.
I am. They didn't realize that we have
a... Okay. when it comes to Bechor and Meiser, you can't, there's no substitute for them, basically. When they develop a mum, you just eat them. Well, we talked yesterday, actually, a Bechor, the Kohen eats Meiser, anybody can eat. So therefore, Hekdesh doesn't get anything from it. But because of that, we don't want to be makel on them to say that you can sell them in the normal way like you sell meat in the butcher shop by weight, because that would be a bazillion for them. And it's not like Hekdesh is gaining anything from it. So when it comes to regular kachim, you can weigh them in the normal way. But when it comes to a bechor, you can only weigh mona keneged mona. You can weigh a piece against a piece. Because of that. So the point is, even though we're saying we want to be machmer by bechor and not weigh it in the normal way, we're still allowing you to weigh piece against piece. So therefore, we see that that's a kula. Therefore, we see that that's a more lenient way of weighing it. And therefore, Rabbi Yosef is saying, since we see that that's the din over there, then the same thing applies to Yom Tov, that if Rabbi Yeshua is saying that you're allowed to weigh mona keneged mona on Yom Tov, then fine, the same din applies.
Because of lenience.
Yeah. In other words, we're saying that mona keneged mona is an unusual way of weighing. It's not considered. That's why we've got. That's what we're saying. Because the same way as by Bechor, the same way as by Bechor on weekdays, we're saying you can't weigh it in the normal way, but you can weigh it mona keneged mona. The same thing applies to Yom Tov. You can't weigh in the normal way on Yom Tov against the weight, but you can weigh against another piece of meat. Yeah. However, Amalei Abaye v'du Malohi. Abaye says maybe not. Maybe not necessarily. Do the Chachamim of that Mishnah agree with Rabbi Yeshua of the Braisa? Because ad kan lakom Rabbi Yeshua hocha ela delech bizayin kachim. Why is Rabbi Yeshua saying over here by Yom Tov he's being makel and allowing you to weigh piece against piece? Because there's no bizayin of kachim. There's no treating kachim casually involved. We're not kachim. We're talking about cholin. Abel hasam deika bizayin kachim loy. Maybe in the case of Bechor, where there is a bizayin to the kachim that you're weighing it like regular meat in the store. Maybe not. Maybe he wouldn't be makel. Maybe he would say, again, mela by other kachim will allow you to weigh it normally because the more you can treat it like normal meat, the more people will be willing to buy it. Therefore, we'll allow you to weigh it normally, let people come and buy, and that way Hekdesh will make money. But by Bechor, maybe Rabbi Yeshua would say, yes, I'm makel on Yom Tov. But by Bechor, no, I'm going to be machmer. I'm not even going to allow you to weigh mona against mona. Inami. Or the other way around, you could say, why are the Rabbanan makel there by the Bechor? Because there's no issue of Ugdin Bechor. There's no issue of treating Yom Tov in a casual way. So maybe, therefore, they're makel and they allow it. But here, where it appears like weekdayish activity to weigh it mona against mona, maybe light. So maybe not. So therefore, you don't have a proof. Just because there's that Mishnah in Bechor doesn't prove anything for the dinim of Yom Tov. Now, getting back to, we said that Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon ben Rebbe used to weigh a mona against a mona. The question is, the Gemara asked, remember, Dekapti Hadadi, are you telling me that Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon ben Rebbe were so picky against each other that when they divided meat, they'd have to make sure everyone gets their fair share? V'hohanu shev v'nisa, but we find the case. There were once seven fish, to also lebe Rebbe, that were brought to Rebbe's house, v'ishtaka chavish minayo be Rav Chiya, and five of them turned up in Rav Chiya's house. In other words, Rav Chiya took five of them and took them home. Well, I offered Rav Shimon ben Rebbe, and Rav Shimon ben Rebbe didn't mind. He didn't say, oh, Rav Chiya is taking more than of my father's stuff than I'm getting. Now, how exactly did Rav Chiya take the five without asking? Some of the Farshim explain. The vote is, we're talking about these seven fish weren't just brought for Rebbe's personal consumption. They were brought for the Talmidim. So therefore, Rav Chiya felt free to take, he's one of the Talmidim as well, so he felt free to take. So anyway, so we see that he and Rav Shimon ben Rebbe did not mind. So why are they insisting to weigh meat against meat? Amar Papa Shodi Gavra Benayu. You're right. You have to say that there was somebody else involved in the story over here. Either Rav Chiya or Rabbi Shmuel ben Rebbe. You see, either if Rav Chiya was one of the people involved, then the other one must have been Rabbi Shmuel ben Rebbe. You see, either Rav Shimon ben Rebbe or Bakapara. Or if you say that one of the people involved was Rav Shimon ben Rebbe, the other one must have been Bakapara. Because we know that since we established that Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon ben Rebbe didn't care about each other taking more than their fair share, if you find somebody that when Rav Chiya is dealing with him, he's picky to take exactly his fair share and no more, or that Rav Shimon ben Rebbe is picky to take exactly his fair share and no more, it must have been one of their other colleagues. So either it was Rav Shmuel ben Rebbe Yossi or Rav Shmuel ben Kapara.
So flattering.
No, it's a, you know, it depends. They had different relationships with their different chaverim. Mishnah says, "Ein mashchizin as a sakin be Yom Tov." You're not allowed to sharpen a knife on Yom Tov. Al masia al gabe chavata, but you can sharpen it on another knife. one knife against the other. This word Masiyah, by the way, Rashi quotes in Chumash when Yitzchak tells Esav, Sona Kelecha, which literally means pick up your weapons and go hunt for me and bring me meat. Rashi says over there that Sona doesn't just mean pick it up, because obviously he's going to pick it up to go hunting. It means sharpen it. He tells him, sharpen it, so you make sure you're shechting with a proper knife so you don't feed me to Velas. Saul, that's the thing. Saul, you would think, means pick up. But Rashi says, quoting from our mission over here, that we see that the Shodesh Saul means to sharpen. That's Masiya al Gabi Chaberta. Amar Avuna, Loishonu al Mashcher Zeshel Evan. This din that the mission is saying you're not allowed to sharpen a knife means you're not allowed to sharpen it on a stone sharpener, a whetstone. Abu Mashcher Zeshel Eitz Mutter. But if it's a wooden sharpener, then you're allowed to. When you're saying, Rav Huna, that a stone one is also, that only applies if you're actually trying to sharpen the knife. But if you're just trying to scrape the grease off it, mutter, then it would be allowed even with a stone one. The klal, which implies, which therefore the implication of what Rav Huna is saying is that if it's a wooden one, you're even allowed to sharpen it.
How can you sharpen on wood? I've never seen
it. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
It seems pretty hard.
Yeah. I don't know. Hard wood, maybe.
Yeah.
Never tried it, but I suppose it can be possible.
Special wood.
Yeah. So far, in other words, what we have is, according to this first version, I think Gemara is going to bring a few versions of this discussion, but according to this version number one, if it's a stone one, you're allowed to use it to remove the grease, but not to sharpen it. If it's a wooden one, you're allowed to use it for either purpose, grease or sharpening.
Grease and sharpening.
Yeah. Ikadamri. There are others who teach this teaching of Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, referring to the second part of what Rav Huna said, Bishal Eitz Mutter, that Rav Huna said that a wooden one is allowed. And on that, we're saying that according to this version, it's Lachumra. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Hada Amit Bishal Eitz Mutter, this that you're saying you're allowed to use a wooden one, Loyamurin Allahav Hasham Nunisa, that's only to take off the grease. Aval Lachadada also, but if you're using it to sharpen, you can't even use a wooden one. Mikal, which would imply to Bishal Evan, Nafil Lahav Hasham Nunisa also. According to this version, it would be the other way around. A stone one you're never allowed to use on Yom Tov. A wooden one only if it's to scrape off the grease. Version number three, Ika Demasni La Amasnissin. There are others who refer what Rabbi Huda is saying in the name of Shmuel, not to what Rabbi Huda is saying about the difference between wood and stone, but rather to the Mishnah. When the Mishnah said, Ein Mashchizin Es Asachin B'Yom Tov, when the Mishnah said you can't sharpen a knife on Yom Tov, according to this version number three, Amar Rav Yehuda Mashmul, Lo Shana El Chadada, that this that the Mishnah is saying you're not allowed to is only if you're trying to sharpen it. Ava Lahavisham the Nusim Mutter, but if it's just a scrape off the grease, you're allowed. Miklal, which would imply, Da'agabi Chavata, Afil Lachadada Nami Mutter, that if you're doing one knife against the other, with the Mishnah said, Ava Masi, Agabi Chavata, that would be allowed even if you're doing it to sharpen it.
Lo Shana El Chadada?
Ava Lahavisham the Nusim Mutter, that's only when the Mishnah is saying you can't sharpen it with a whetstone, means with a sharpener means if you're actually trying to sharpen it, but you are allowed to use it to remove the grease. But to use another knife, you could do either way. You could do to remove the grease as well as even to sharpen it. And version number four, the Ika Demasni La Sefer, then there are others who refer what Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel to the second part of the Mishnah, Av Masiya Gabi Chavata, that you're allowed to sharpen one knife against the other, that on that, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Lo Shana Ola Havasham Nisa, that that's only if you're trying to scrape off the grease, but to sharpen it is also mikal, which would imply that if you're using a sharpener, then you're not even allowed to use it to remove the grease. So we have four different versions of what Rabbi Yehuda said. And we'll get to Anamad Beis. What the actual halacha is. First of all, man tana de mashchezes aser. Which tana is it anyway that says you're not allowed to sharpen a knife on Yom Tov using a sharpener?
The last one.
Because the Mishnah had said flat out that you can't sharpen a knife. Even if, according to any of these versions, there's some kind of sharpening that you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov, either only with a wooden one, or either only with a stone one, or even with a wooden one, or even using another knife. So who is it that's saying that you're not allowed to use a sharpener to sharpen a knife? That you need some kind of shinui? Amar Rav Chisda, the like Rabbi Yehuda. That must be not like Rabbi Yehuda. the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, or the Tanan, actually, as Oitzabach says, Ein ben Yom Tov l'Shabbos al Eichel Nefesh Polvah. There's no difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos, except that you're allowed to do Malachas Eichel Nefesh on Yom Tov. And on that, Rabbi Yehuda Matar af Nachshira Eichel Nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda is Matar, even the prerequisites for Eichel Nefesh. We talked about this briefly the other day, but here will be the main sugya about it. So Machshira Eichel Nefesh is, for example, over here. You want to be able to shecht. You need a sharp knife. Rabbi Yehuda is saying you're allowed to sharpen it. If the Mishnah is telling us you're not allowed to sharpen it in the normal way, that must be not like Rabbi Yehuda. Amalei Rava l'Rav Chista, so Rava says to Rav Chista, Darshinen Mishmach Halacha k'Rav Yehuda. We are darshining in your name, or we want to darshin in your name. That's why Rashi says, Nidrash Mishimcha, I'm going to darshin in your name. Halacha k'Rav Yehuda. That's Halacha k'Rav Yehuda. Amalei, and Rav Chista was very pleased by that. He said, Yehei Rava, D'chol ki hani mili mal, you said, Tidrashin Mishmai. Halavai, it should be the Evishas Ratzin, that any good thing like that, you should darshin in my name. What does that mean? Sefer Chassidim says an interesting word. Sefer Chassidim says that if you have a teaching which you heard from a certain Talmud Chacham, and you want to say it over, but you know that people are not going to accept it, don't say it over in his name, because people are not going to accept it anyway, and then they're going to laugh at that Talmud Chacham for having said such a thing. The hearer of Chista says, you don't need to worry about that. It is an absolute truth that the halacha is like a Yehuda. It's a very nice statement, so feel free to say it in my name. Nobody's going to object to it.
That's
what he meant, yeah.
Provided someone like someone is well known.
More stuff and hanging yourself from a high tree.
Right, you may be right. You shall be in Gano, yeah. I was one time standing in front of Rava, the Talmud, and I noticed on Yom Tov, he was rubbing a knife along the edge of a basket. And I asked him, are you doing that in order to sharpen the knife? Or are you doing it just to scrape off the grease? And he tells me, I'm only doing it to scrape off the grease. However, Rav Nechemia says, Rav Nechemia Beir Rav Yosef is saying, V'chazisi l'dayte, I noticed that what he was actually trying to do, d'lachad adaka avid, he really was trying to sharpen it. So why did he say not? Because he held halacha v'ein moedin kein. It is the halacha that you're allowed to sharpen a knife on Yom Tov, like Rabbi Hoja says, but ein moedin kein, you do not paskin like that. Because you don't want people to treat Yom Tov carelessly. The Gemara is going to establish soon, we'll talk about it in a little bit, that even Rabbi Yehuda is only saying you're allowed to sharpen it if you couldn't have done it before Yom Tov. If you could have done it before Yom Tov, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees you can. So therefore, you don't want people sharpening knives on Yom Tov because they may get careless, and you don't want to paskin for the public that you're allowed to sharpen knives on Yom Tov because they may get careless and even do it with ones that they could have done before Yom Tov. Not really only b'di'evet, no, because Rabbi is doing the l'chila. But he's saying, I'm doing it, but I'm not going to say the reason why I'm doing it, because that would be paskining halacha. So therefore, instead, he pretended as though he's doing it just in order to scrape off the grease, but really he was doing it in order to sharpen, because technically that is the halacha. You are allowed to sharpen on Yom Tov, but you don't want to paskin like that for the public.
The public won't say, only if you couldn't do it before Yom Tov.
Well, no, that's the thing. You don't want to make that distinction to the public because they may get careless with it. Once you're allowed to sharpen knives, they'll figure, fine, we'll leave all our knives and sharpen them on Yom Tov. Now, actually,
so what's the purpose of him doing
it? So he did it this way. He was doing it because he needed a sharp knife. But he didn't want to tell his Talmud why he's doing it, because that would be paskin halacha. And you can't paskin the halacha this way. Now, having said that, in Shulchan Aruch it says, there is this concept, halacha bein moedin kein, and we're going to apply it soon to something that we're going to talk about soon, a case of a spit that got bent or broken or whatever. But actually, in Shulchan Aruch, and that's what everybody brings in Shulchan Aruch, that in the case of knives, there are poskim who say, and now that ever pass comes according to them, that in the case of knives, this din does not apply. Why? Because a knife, even if you have a knife that's dull or has a nick in it or whatever, big deal. Borrow a knife from somebody else. As opposed to, for example, spits, which we'll talk about soon. Not everybody has those. So if it broke on Yom Tov, for example, you have no choice. But if a knife, even if the knife broke or dulled or whatever on Yom Tov, don't bother sharpening it. Borrow it from somebody else. I did see an interesting thing, though, that the Ben Ish Chai wrote to somebody at Tshuva. So they sent him a question from Singapore. There was a Jewish community there in those days. There still is, I think, a small one. The Benish Chai lived in Baghdad 100 years ago.
Ten times.
At the time, most of the community was Sfardim, so they sent their questions to the Benish Chai. Anyway, so they asked him, it's a very humid climate over there. If you have an iron knife, even if you sharpen it, within a very short time, the blade of it is going to start rusting. So you have to sharpen it shortly before you use it. So they asked him, what are we supposed to do on Yom Tov? So that's the thing. If you're saying you can't sharpen a knife, even within a couple of hours. Apparently not. No, the whole point was it on the same day already. And besides, especially it's outside of Israel, you have to keep 2 days Yom Tov. So he says, so he goes through a whole arichos. He says, really what you should do, he gives them an advice how to prepare a few knives, wrap them up carefully, etc., and hopefully one of them will make it through. If not, he says, if none of the above helps, then fine, yes, under the circumstances, you can go ahead and sharpen a knife on Yom Tov, because you couldn't help otherwise. Yeah, basically. Well, not, yes.
We don't try to go that way.
Well, we don't live in Singapore. It's not quite so humid over here. Besides which, also, we use steel knives. Shechtim nowadays use steel knives, which are not as... Which is Alfred Ebbers' thing. Yeah, I guess in Singapore they didn't use it yet.
Didn't
reach there. And Abaya says a similar thing. I was one time standing in front of my Rebbe, which usually means Rabba, although some Rishonim, I think, have a gear so that instead it was Rabbi Yosef, whatever it is. He was rubbing a knife along the edge of a millstone. And I asked him, like before, are you trying to sharpen it? Or are you trying to scrape off the grease? He said, I'm trying to scrape off the grease. I could tell what he was really trying to do. That he really is trying to sharpen it. Same thing. It's the halacha, but you can't pass it in that way.
This case is brought to confirm the previous one?
Basically, I mean, but it's even more so. The previous one was he was rubbing against the edge of a basket. Pashtas made out of reeds or whatever they made baskets out of in those days. It would take a very long time to sharpen a knife like that. Here we're talking about against an actual stone, but it's not a wet stone. It's not made for sharpening. It's a millstone. Yeah. They had a question as follows. Is a shochet allowed to show his knife to a Talmid Chacham on Yom Tov? In those days, the general thing was, we learned about this in Erevin, that a sheikhet was responsible every time before he shechted to show his knife to a rav to make sure that it's good for shechting. In Shulchan Aruch it says nowadays they don't have that minhag because in those days basically anybody could shecht. They didn't have such a thing as you have to have Kabbalah for shechitas, and therefore you'd have to have an expert shecht. Nowadays it's experts who do shechita anyway, so the rabbanim are marchal on their cover that the shechtim don't have to regularly show them their knives. Once in a while, you hear the stories where Rob comes to town and he wants to check the shechtim's knives, but it's not a regular thing anymore.
Now the Moradaster
check. No, the Moradaster does not check. Maybe once in a while, but not on a regular basis. Okay, so then as I once a month, fine, but not regularly. Anyway, so are you allowed to show the knife to a chacham on Yom Tov? Now, why? So Rav Mori Breda Bizna Shari, Rav Mori Breda Bizna says it's mutter, but Rabbanan Astri, the Rabbanan says it's awesome. But Rav Yosef Amar, and Rav Yosef says kind of a compromise. Tamar Chacham, Royal Asma, Mashilo Achirim. A Tamar Chacham can look at the knife himself, decide that it's good, and then lend it out to others. Now, why are you not allowed to, why are the Rabbanan saying, and this is in fact the halacha, that you can't show the knife to a Chacham on Yom Tov? There's four different reasons that Rishonim give. Rashi here says the reason is because it's Absham Milta. It's again Ubdu Dechoil. It looks like a very public spectacle. It makes it look like you're planning to shecht a whole bunch of animals to sell in the store. That's Rashi's reason. The Rambam's reason is because what happens if the Rav tells you that the knife does have a nick? You might forget and sharpen it. As opposed to, therefore, Talmid Chacham. It's not an issue because Talmid Chacham knows you're not allowed to sharpen it. So once the Rav tells him it's nicked, okay, so he won't shecht. Or technically, actually, in Shulchan Aruch, it says that in a pinch, if you really have to shecht on Yom Tov and you have a nicked knife, you don't have a choice, what you do is wrap a towel around the nicked part and use the unnicked part. Use the part of the knife where the blade is whole. Only on Yom Tov, or even on weekdays, if you absolutely don't have any other knife and you have no other way of sharpening it, then yes. Obviously, you have to be careful. Yeah. That's reason number two. Reason number three is, I think the Ramban says is, what was reason number three? Let me see. So far we had because it looks like Ovdin Dechoil, because you might sharpen it. There's a third reason I think the Ramban brings because you might carry it outside of Tchum. You, if the rav is outside the tchum, you may forget and walk outside the tchum to bring it to him to look at. And the and yavtiv, which you're not allowed to do. And then there's a fourth reason which the Baal HaMara brings, which is that because when the rav checks it, it's like paskening halacha. We said yesterday that a chacham is not allowed to look at a bechor because it's like paskening a din. This also is like paskening a din. In Shulchan Aruch it only brings two of the four on Yom Tov. In Shulchan Aruch it only brings two of the four reasons. Out of these four reasons, it only brings the Rambam's reason about that you might sharpen it, and the Baal HaMara's reason because it's like paskening a din.
Not Rashi's reason
and not the Ramban's reason, or not brought in Shulchan Aruch. The Alter Rebbe says technically the halacha is like the first opinion, that it's because you might forget and sharpen it.
Like the Rambam.
B'di'evet, though, if you don't have a choice, then you can be soimach on the Razal's opinion, which the Baal HaMara's opinion, where he's saying that the only reason is because of like passing a din. Nowadays, since they don't regularly show it to a Talmud Chacham anyway, usually the Shoychat just checks it himself, so it's not really considered like a din Torah. So therefore, you're allowed to in a pinch on Yom Tov, but l'chatchila you should go according to the Rambam and not show it to him at all on Yom Tov. Because he may forget, because it may turn out that it's nicked, and then he'll forget and sharpen it. V'amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef says another din, sakin sha'amda, a knife that is dull. Before we were talking about a knife that's nicked, that needs to be resharpened, here we're talking about a portion that's dull. Mutu l'chadad over Yom Tov, you're allowed to sharpen it on Yom Tov. But this is only if it can cut with difficulty. If it can't cut at all, then to sharpen it would be, Rashi says it would be tirchi yaseir, it would be extra work that you can't do on Yom Tov. Other Mephoroshim say it would be like making a new keli, because it can't cut. It's not considered a knife at this point. Rashi says the difference is, if it got nicked, then you knew already, usually it started getting nicked. You could already see before Yom Tov that it's starting to get a little rough, and you should have sharpened it before Yom Tov. If it gets dull, not necessarily did you realize before Yom Tov that it's going to be so dull that you're going to have difficulty cutting with it. And again, in Shulchan Aruch it says not necessarily is this really the halacha, because in practice with knives, just go borrow another one. Darash Rav Chista, v'itame Rav Yosef, Rav Chista, or some say Rav Yosef, darshined as follows. Echad sakin shenifkuma, both the case of a knife that got dented, that got a pgima in it, that got blemished, v'echad shfud shenirtzam, or a spit, where the tip of it broke off on Yom Tov, v'echad grifas tana v'kiraim, and another case, sweeping out an oven or a stove. Rashi says we're talking about that some of the plaster from it fell into the bottom of the stove, and now you can't cook in it. Tosfos says we're talking about a new stove, for example, or a new oven. Sometimes there's leftover dirt and bricks and whatever in it, and you need to sweep them out, so it's like makor hapatish, like making a keli. All these things, b'yomtiv, banu l'machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan. All these things, we get involved in this machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan about machshirin. The Tanya, as we learn in a braisa, we said before, ein ben yomtiv l'shabbos ala oichol nefesh b'bad. There's no difference between yomtiv and Shabbos except for the malacha of oichol nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda master af machshir oichol nefesh, and Rabbi Yehuda is master also the prerequisites for oichol nefesh. So all these things, all these kinds of things, like sharpening knives and fixing spits and so forth, are all machshir oichol nefesh. My time at the Tanakhama, what's the Tanakhama's reason?
Not to allow it.
Amakra, because the Pasuk says, Hulavada Yasalachem, only it, only that, Malachas Eichel Nefesh, can be done by you. Meaning, Hulavada Machshirav, only the Malachas Eichel Nefesh itself, not the prerequisite. Vir Rabbi Yehuda, what would Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? He would say, Amakra, Lachem, but the Pasuk says that it should be for you, Hulavada Yasalachem. Lachem means Machal Tarchechem, means for all your needs. So even the prerequisite.
Hulavada doesn't mean for him.
So one second. So we'll see in a second what that means. But Tanakama Haksib Lachem, what does the Tanakama do with the word Lachem?
Right.
It means you're only allowed to prepare for yourself, not for Goyim, as we talked about in the previous parak. What about according to Rabbi Yehuda? It says Hu, which is a miut. Amalach. It's true, there is the miut, the word Hu, but on the other hand, you have the expansion by the word Lachem. But like Kasha, so it's not a contradiction. Kan machshirin she'ef shalasos me'ev Yom Tov. One is talking about machshirin that could have been done before Yom Tov. So the who is coming to exclude. You cannot do makshira ilchom nefesh that could have been, we could have done it before Yom Tov. Can makshira and shiyev shalasas in Yom Tov, as opposed to ones that could not have been done on Yom Tov. The knife got nicked on Yom Tov. The spit broke on Yom Tov, etc. Those kinds of things you couldn't have done before Yom Tov, so therefore you're allowed to do on Yom Tov. Another din, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, shvut shenirtzaf, a spit that became bent. A spit, meaning we're talking about a spit, like for roasting meat on.
Right.
It's a long piece of wood. A metal, wood, whatever it is.
So
it
got,
yeah, that's what I said. I'm going to read it. Interesting, I don't know. Shvud shenirtzaf, a shvud that got bent. Also a sakne be yomtiv. You're not allowed to fix it on yomtiv. Well, of course not. Why? You can use it. It's bent, but it's not broken. You're able to use it. So why would you think you're allowed to unbend it? The answer is, the chiddush is, even if you're able to unbend it by hand, you don't need to actually bang it with a hammer or whatever. It's bent slightly enough, or it's soft enough, or whatever the metal, that you're able to, because you're still able to use it, therefore you're not allowed to fix it. But that's the chiddush. Even if you're able to fix it by hand, you still can. Another din,
and if you cannot fix it by hand,
if you can't fix it by hand, you can only fix it by using an instrument. Then of course not. But what we're saying is, this is provided you can still use it. If you can't use it, then we just said Rav Yehuda says you'd be allowed to fix it. That's why we said before that we had the case of a spit where the end broke off. According to Rav Yehuda, you're allowed to resharpen it to a new end. Yeah.
That's the halacha, by the way.
The halacha is like Rav Yehuda, yeah. And again, in Shulchan Aruch it says that we do apply that to spits because, yeah, if it broke on Yom Tov, or if it broke or whatever it is on Yom Tov, fine, you didn't have a choice. You couldn't have done it before Yom Tov. And not necessarily are you going to easily be able to borrow a spit from somebody else because not everybody has them. As opposed to knives, go borrow. Another din, V'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, shvud shatzolo by basar, a spit that they roasted meat on it, also l'talt l'bi Yom Tov. You're not allowed to move it on Yom Tov afterwards because once you've finished using it, it's meal stick. It's filthy. That's mukhta.
You're
going to clean it? No. In Shulchan Aruch it says you're allowed to use it again if you're going to be roasting more meat. But if you're finished with it for the day, you don't need it anymore, then it's mukhta. Rav Ada Ba'ava Omer Rav Malkia, but Rav Ada Ba'ava says in the name of Rav Malkia, or on the side here, Agos HaGra and Agos HaBach, both say that should be the other way around. Rav Malkia was Rav Ada Ba'ava's Talmud, not his Rebbe. Anyway, he says, Shemto, you're allowed to move it away from you by dragging it away and put it in a corner. So it's true, you can't move it normally. But you can because of Mukta. But you can get it out of the way by sort of pushing it off, by sort of dragging it off into a corner. That is only if there's a kazayas of meat on it at least. Because then it has a purpose to carry it. Otherwise not. No, even if there isn't a kazayas of meat on it, you're allowed to move it. Because it's similar to a thorn, a hazard in the street, which you're allowed to move away so that people don't get hurt on it. Same thing here, a sharp spit in the middle of the street over here, and then not in the middle of the street, in the middle of the house over here, you can move it aside. Our gusa over here is mutal taltalay, that you're actually allowed to move it, you're allowed to actually pick it up. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch is not like that. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch is you are only allowed to drag it off to the side because it is actual muktzah, but still, fine. You only need to get it out of the way because it's a koitz b'shus rabim. Fine, but you can do that, but you can accomplish that by just dragging it aside. Only if you need latzarech gufoy mekayim, you need it again to roast meat on Yom Tov, then already you're allowed to reuse it. Actually, come to think of it, one detail that it says on that in Shulchan Aruch is this din would only apply if you have, for example, it's not a regular spit that you use all the time. It's something that you use like as a makeshift spit. So it's not really considered a keli. As opposed to if you have a permanent piece of metal or wood that you're constantly using as a spit, then it's a keli.
Something for a grill, for instance, would be considered a
keli. Yeah. So then,
if it's something that's improvised, like a piece of wood. Or
yeah. So then, so when we say that you have to schlep it off and then put that you have to sort of move it in an unusual way to the side, that's talking about just like an ad hoc piece of wood. Yeah, if it was a regular spit or a regular grill or whatever, okay. then you might be allowed to move it regularly, yeah. Now, so we mentioned this din, that Rav Malkia said in the name of Rav Ada Ba'ava. There were two Amoraim who had very similar names, Rav Malkia and Rav Malkia. But now the Gemara is going to explain how we know which one said which. Amar Rav Chinna Breda Ravika, shvud shvachos v'gumos rav malkiyai. The dinim about a shvud, about a spit, which is what we just said, about being able to drag it off to the side, anyamtiv. Shvachos is a din in a Mishnah in Ksubas. It talks about over there, there's certain malachos that a woman has to do for her husband around the house. If they can afford maidservants to do some of these jobs, then she's potter from some of them. And then if there's enough maidservants, then in principle should be potter from all of them. However, Rabbi Eliezer says in the Mishnah over there that no, there's always some things she has to do around the house, because he says just sitting around doing nothing eventually leads to immorality and to going crazy and whatever. So therefore, there's always going to be some responsibilities that the lady of the house has, no matter how many maidservants she has. That's what Rabbi Eliezer says that. And Rabbi Malkiah says over there, Rabbi Malkiah says over there, the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer in that.
So she has to do
certain things, yeah.
If she doesn't want to.
That's the din of shvachos.
If she doesn't want to.
Then
even a rich woman?
Yeah, even a rich woman, yeah. And the third one is with gumois. Gumois means follicles, hair follicles. This is a din in Nidda. That says, this is a din in Nidda, that says that we know that a child is considered an adult when they have shteisiris, when they have two pubic hairs. Rav Malkiah, he says over there that even if all you have there, even if you don't find hairs in that area, but you find two follicles, then you can consider the child as an adult, because follicles only develop where there's hair.
What do you mean by follicles?
Exactly what it sounds like, hair follicles. So if you find follicles, but there's no hair in them.
A little white around the hair you're talking about?
No, the actual gumos means literally, it means literally like holes in the skin.
Oh, in the skin. Okay.
Yeah. So if you find the hair follicle, you examine the skin, you find the hair follicle, even though you don't find the hair in it, fine, the hair got pulled out somehow. But the follicle was there, meaning that the hair was there.
Maybe they use the word guma for other things.
The word guma means a hole. Yeah. So all those things, he says, is sort of Malki Yoi. All those things are those three dinim are things that are Malki Yoi said. Three other ones, blotus, a din about a chup, a full lock of hair. Goyim in those days used to wear a lock of hair like that in the middle of their head, like a ponytail, in honor of their Avodah Zarah. The din is a Jewish barber who's giving a Goya haircut. Rav Malkiah says the din that when he's giving a Goya haircut, he has to stop cutting the hair three etzbais away from that full lock in every direction, because otherwise he's effectively dedicating it. He's helping him dedicate something to Avodah Zarah. That's the din of Blurus. Eifam Mikla is a din in Masechta Makos, related to in last week's parasha. We had the din that you're not allowed to have a tattoo, because Eifas Kaka, they sit in Rufachim. The din is you're not allowed to put ashes on a wound, because when the wound heals, some of the ashes stay in it. It looks like a tattoo. So therefore, it's also Midrabanan. That's Eifam Mikla. And Ugvina is a din about cheese, which is, the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah says that Goyish cheese made by Goyim is also. Why? The Gemara gives a few possible reasons over there. One reason Rav Malkiah gives is because the Goyim would, they'd smooth out the cheese, they'd wax it using pig fat, using lard.
They'd smooth out
the cheese after the cheese is made. The surface of it is rough. They'd want to smooth it out so it looks nice and shiny. They'd use lard for that.
There was also some kind of preservative.
That's a different issue.
No,
maybe it preserves it too, I don't know. So those three things are Rav Malkiah. On the other hand, Rav Papa says differently. No, Masnissin or Masnissir Rav Malkiah. The dinim, of these six dinim, the ones that have to do directly with a Mishnah or a Braisa come from Rav Malkiah. Shmaitza, the ones that come based on teachings of Amiroyim, are Rav Malkiah. The Simonach and the Simon. Remember that is Masnis and Malkasa. The Mishnah is clean. Mishnah is more important in a way than the dinim of Amoraim. So it's like a queen as opposed to the Gemara. Masnis and Malkasa. In Echsid, it's all over the place. It brings this word Masnis and Malkasa. The idea being that just like you have that Malkus develops what comes from Zohar, the same thing the Mishnah develops what's hidden in Torah Shabbat. Develops it as halachas. You must buy Benai. What's the difference between them? What case do we have that Rav Chinana would say that Rav Malkiah says it and Rav Papa says it was Rav Malkiah? It could be Benai Shvachas. The difference between them would be this din about the maid servants, because that one is on a Mishnah in Ksuvos. Rav Chinana had listed it as the second thing in his list of Rav Malkiah. According to Rav Papa, since it's on a Mishnah, it has to be Rav Malkiah. Tosfos points out over here, and Rashi also discussed it, Rashi and Tosfos discussed it in a few different places, including over here, that it may not just be it may not just be a difference as far as the maidservants, because we have, what about the other way around? The din about the Eifer Mikla, the din about the ashes, is not based on a Mishnah, and according to Rav Chinina, it's Rav Malkia, according to Rav Papa, who is it? So one possibility is, yes, when Rav Papa says, when the Gemara says Shvachos, it means Shvachos, which is the second one on the first list, but it also means, correspondingly, the second one on the second list. In other words, Rav Papa would flip around those two. The other possibility, Tosa says, is maybe not. Maybe Rav Papa means to say that anything that's on a Mishnah or a Braita is from Rav Malkia, but the ones on Amirayim are is not, we're not certain. Some of them could be from Rav Malkia, some could be from Rav Malkia. In other words, according to Rav Papa, not necessarily is it 3 and 3 for each one of them. It could be 4 and 2.
According to
Tosfos, the second explanation.
Yeah.